Yeah, if you will, turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. The scripture says here in Proverbs 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Turn over here, if you will, to chapter 16 of this same book, chapter 16 and verse number 25. Chapter 16, verse number 25 of Proverbs. The scripture says again, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, here on the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus preaching. And in verse number 13 in Matthew 7, we pick it up here where our Lord Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way." Speaking about two different gates. He says there's this strait gate. But then he changes our attention and moves our attention over to yet another gate. "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate." That's this the aspect in looking at this other gate. "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate," now he's back over here to the first, "because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Our Lord puts before us two gates. This morning our focus is upon this in light of those other passages in Proverbs. This passage here in Matthew chapter 7, the broad way of sin. The broad way of sin. In cities, for centuries, no doubt, it has been that there would be boulevards or avenues that would be named Broadway. But we're not using that word Broadway, all one word, but we're distinguishing this broad, new word, way of sin. Okay, so I want that to be clear in our minds. In James chapter 1, our brother's writing to the saints, but there is that is applicable and a principle and an understanding here for all, that all of us can be benefited by in this consideration of the broad way of sin. We read over there in Proverbs that there's a way that seems right to you and me naturally. And our Lord Jesus tells us about two gates, the narrow gate that few find, and then the broad gate. There's all kinds of people going in that way. This narrow gate, this straight gate, it leads to life. But this broad gate, I tell you what, there's certain doom and destruction down there at the end of that way, that gate. And so we want to take a look here at what Brother James, our Lord, gives us through this brother as he inspired him. And let's hear what our Lord is saying unto us regarding the broad way of sin. We've recently dealt with messages last Sunday. The command is to repent. Repent of what? To repent of your sins. We dealt with the week before, last week, about the command to repent. And then I can't remember what that message was last Sunday. Isn't that terrible? I thought I would. I should have written it down. But it was along this line of sin. We mentioned about the different tenses of sin and how we deal with that and how it is, what sins can be forgiven. Okay, it came back. Thank you, Father. What sins can be forgiven? All sins can be forgiven, can't they? All sins can be forgiven. Oh, yes, there's one that will not be forgiven, but I tell you what, you don't have to worry about that when every sin that you've got can be forgiven. And that sin that is not forgiven is not the sin of unbelief. You know, unbelief can be forgiven. Okay? And it's all by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this broad way of sin, Brother James writes here, our Lord speaks to us in verse number 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, as from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, the word of God, if you will, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Here in verse number 12, our brother writes, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. In this verse, we see our Lord speaking to us about the perseverance of the saints. The saints will persevere. Those who are saved, we will persevere unto the end. There's a crown of life, eternal life, is promised to those that endure temptation. There is temptation that is upon us daily and hourly as we're out in the world. There is temptation at hand on every side. And may we persevere. May we endure with it. May we resist it and follow our Lord in that way of obedience that He's provided. And a note here in verse number 12, the saints love their Lord. The saints love their Lord. Are you saved? You love your Lord, don't you? Yeah, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen? We love our Lord. The saints love their Lord. Verse number 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Understand that about temptation, we cannot lay a bit of that at the Lord's feet. The Lord does not tempt, okay, but the Lord tries His children. He does try His children. He tests us, as we have seen in the Scriptures, Brother Mark, in his study on Abraham. We saw how the Lord tried Abraham and tested his faith. Listen to what it says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. God Almighty, He does not tempt men, women, boys, and girls with sin, with wickedness. Now understand this. If the Lord told me to go and witness to somebody and pressed it upon my heart to go and talk to somebody, and I did not do so, I was resistant and rested against that, I would have sinned against my God. But to go and witness to somebody is not a wicked thing. The Lord will never take a bottle of liquor or alcohol and put it in front of somebody. The Lord will never put someone to commit fornication with in front of somebody. The Lord will not take any kind of wickedness and evil of this world and put it in front of somebody and test in that way. The testing of the Lord is always unto obedience of Him. If we disobey, we indeed sin. But what the Lord takes and deals with us as children in is always unto obedience unto Him. So to understand how that is, we'll see more about how it is with this of tempting and where it comes from. Our Lord tries His people, but He never tempts with sinful things or wickedness. Let no man say when he is tempted, verse 13, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. You can't take any evil thing and put it before the Lord and persuade Him and allure Him from His holiness and from godliness and the separated place where He is. He cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man with such. Verse 14, here we are, the broad way of sin. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. In this verse number 14, we see temptation defined, don't we? Drawn away by our own desires. Every man is tempted, here's how it is, when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now understand, when that word lust is used, it can be our tendency in our day and our culture to think that that's those things that have to do with fornication and adultery and such as that. You know what? It can be gambling. Somebody can have the desire, the lust to gamble. Somebody can have the desire, the lust to steal, to be so covetous that they would go and take somebody else's stuff from them. So understand, this is speaking about the desire of the heart. It's not just talking about those things sensual or sexual. It's talking about all things that men desire, all those things that the Ten Commandments tell us about and the Lord speaks about on the Sermon on the Mount. Temptation defined tells us that men are drawn away by their own desires, by those things in their heart. Hold your place here and turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Let's hear what our Lord says about this of the heart. Matthew chapter 15, our Lord here dealing with some folks and the religious elite of the day, as it was so common in his day. He had a challenge brought to them about their disobedience and their wickedness when they should have been the ones gladly receiving him and telling the nation that this was the answer of all those things in the Word of God. They were rejecting the Lord. We don't have time for this full account, but the Lord has dealt with them about their tradition and taking their tradition and teaching it for the commandment of God. In verse number 15, in Matthew 15, the Lord Jesus says, or the Scripture says, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable," this thing that you've said earlier in verse number 10. Let's read that. "And he called the multitude and said to them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, not that goes in the body, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man." Verse number 15, "Then when Peter answered, then answered Peter and said unto him, unto Jesus, Declare unto this what you've said earlier. Jesus said," verse 16, are you also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught?" Yeah, I tell you what, it said, you eat some dirt, as filthy as it may be, it's going to go through your system, might make you sick, and then it'll, as the Lord has designed the system of the body, it's just going to go out into the waste stream. That's just the way that it works. He said, that doesn't defile you. You might get sick. We understand that. But that doesn't defile a man. Listen to what he says. Verse 18, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." He said the issue is what comes out. And what comes out of the mouth, if you will, what comes out of the hands, what comes out of the feet, what comes out of the mouth, that's what defiles a man. Listen to the source of all those things, of all this. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, for they defile the man. For out of the heart," verse 19, "proceed evil thoughts." Hang on to that. What we read earlier in James, drawn away of his own desires, and there's where that factory is operating full tilt. The factory of sin within a man. "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, proceed murders out of the hearts of men, adulteries proceed out of their fornications, thefts, lying, false witness, blasphemies against God and against those things that are true. These are the things which defile a man." What comes out of his heart? What comes out of his mouth? What yields into his action or comes into his action? These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with your hands not washed, that doesn't defile a man. Might make you sick, but doesn't defile you. So here we see in a clearer picture this about temptation and how it is that from our own desires we are drawn away. Back in James chapter 1, in verse number 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own desires." What's it say there? "And enticed." How is someone enticed? Well, you know what? You can be enticed by others. We just got through singing the corners. If sinners entice thee, don't give in. Say no, right? Don't be enticed by others. Come on, it won't hurt you. Come on, it's fun. But I pray that each one in the house would know that God says that that's wicked, evil, and wrong. Come on, one lottery ticket won't bother you. One drink won't hurt you. One smoke won't hurt you. One bit of that, one pill won't hurt you. It'll make you feel good. One fling with someone that you don't have any business being intimate with, it won't hurt you. Oh, but they all destroy, don't they? Those that are enticement, those that say, come on and join us. It says in Exodus chapter 23, verse 2, in the beginning of that verse, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You know, that can happen in our day. We see this rioting that's going on and all that. And that's the purpose. There are those that are the seeds of that riot, and they look to encourage others to join in. It's sinful. It's wicked against God to do so. Those that follow riotous pursuits in their recreation, so-called, don't follow a multitude. You can be enticed by a multitude. You can be enticed by an individual. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to what the Word of God tells us. Solomon, as he writes to his children and to us, listen to what is said here in verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 11. Enticement. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires, what's inside, and then enticed by that, or even being enticed externally. Verse number 11 of Proverbs 1. If my son, verse number 10, with our chorus, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. They're an easy pushover. We can take their stuff. We can have a thrill by being dominant over them and rough them up and show how tough we are by picking on somebody that's weaker than us. That's what bullies do. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. Let us take their life from them. We shall find all precious substance. We'll get their stuff. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. See, there are those that entice, said, come on, it'll be good. We'll have a lot of gain. We'll have some fun doing it. We'll show our dominance. We'll show our skill of mind in laying these traps for these people. I tell you what, enticement is at hand, is it not? In Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 14, the scripture says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Don't even get in the same zip code with it. Turn from it and pass away. You see that come up on the radar screen? Go the other direction, 180 degrees from it. Listen, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. There are those that are so bound up in iniquity and wickedness and that that's all they love and all they pursue. They're looking for someone that they can take and drag down to where they are. They know that they're swallowed up by it. They love it. They love all that they are in it. And you know what? They're looking to take anybody that they can entice into it and bring them right down there with them. Enticement. You know what we mean, enticed by others? It says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 32, after the Lord tells about His gospel and He tells about how that it is known that God is at hand. His gospel's not known. That's the reason we must declare it. But every person knows that there is a God. You can know by, I like this. I remember as a 12-year-old child, I was sitting out on the stoop of my mom and dad's house, a house we were moving into, and I remember looking at my hand and moving my hand. And I'd learned in school already about how some of that worked from the understanding we had. And I realized I am here. And I'm with my mama and daddy, but I'm not. I'm me. And I'm on the inside of me. And this is a big place. And this is real. See, our God, and I knew I am not alone. And I come to understand I'm responsible. And there's nobody else like us. How in the world is this what it is? You know, you understand what I'm saying? I became very conscious of myself being in this world and understanding about life and that it had a beginning and mortal life here has an end. Because, see, you and I can know that God is at hand. Because he's shown it to us by the things created, as it says in chapter 1. But then as men, in Romans 1, as men look to seek and find God of their own volition, they make God out to be something exactly that he's not. Stone, gold and silver, another man. They take and they defile that the very existence of God by our own thinking. And so then it talks about in that chapter also about the giving over that God does as men naturally go on trying to find him in their own way and cannot. The verse that ends up this chapter says this, Romans 1:32, who knowing the judgment of God, evildoers and pursuers of vile wickedness and sin and abomination before God, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, listen, but have pleasure in them that do those things too. There are enticers out there. Children, there are enticers out there. Brothers and sisters, we who are parents and grandparents, I tell you what, our children must be raised to go out there and live and be a citizen themselves. We've got them for a time. But I tell you what, may we be on our knees praying for them, that the Lord would keep them, that the Lord would fill them, that the Lord would save them and touch them and keep them indeed from the evil. Because you know what? Everybody else has got more time with our kids than we do. That's the way that it is. Everybody else, in general, has got more time. The world out there and enticers are going to have, in a whole, more time than we have with our kids. Think about that and consider that. So it says here in James chapter 1, verse number 14, every man is tempted, here is temptation defined, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You know what? Not only can men, women, boys and girls be enticers, but you know what? Satan is an enticer. Satan is an active enticer. He's the one that has 6,000 years of marketing of sin experience on you and me. He's been doing this for 6,000 years, selling a bill of goods to mankind. Not only can men and mankind be an enticer, but it says in Matthew chapter 4 in verse number 3, and when the tempter came to him, that is Satan, to the Lord Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days. And who came along to take this, to tempt this man? The God man, the tempter. He's a tempter. He and his crowd, they are tempters and they've got experience. You know what? They know what makes people naturally tick. And they can take that thing and drag it right out there in front of them. They're good at it. They are there at hand. In John chapter 8, verse number 44, the Lord dealing with those folks that are there and the religious leadership of the day, he says to them, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, the desires of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. I want you to hang on to that of the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In the garden there with Eve, was Satan telling the truth? He's lying, wasn't he? I tell you what, when Satan, you know how Satan's a liar? You know when Satan's lying? Then we don't see Satan. You know when Satan's lying? Every time he opens his mouth. He's an enticer. He's an enticer of men, women, boys, and girls. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, I want you to, if you've got a Bible, I want you to read this and turn it over here and read it for yourself. Just don't take my word for it, but read it for yourself. You know who else is an enticer? Well, men, mankind. Men, women, boys, and girls can be enticers. Satan and his crowd of fallen angels, they can be enticers. You know what? You can entice yourself. In that heart, in that factory of sin, we can take that wickedness that's in the world and our past and those things that Satan tempts us with, and we can take that and we can mill that around in our own hearts and minds. We've talked about this. It's been a long time. You know how it is in this world. Our Lord prayed for us. He said, He prayed to the Father. He said, I don't pray you take them out of the world, but that you be with them in the world and that you keep them from the evil. We're to live in this world. We're to be in the world, but not to be of the world as the children of God. You know what? When that wickedness, when that inappropriateness, when that temptation flashes across the screen, comes before your eyes, you know what? There's not a thing you can do about that. That first one. But you know what? You and I are responsible for the second look. We're the responsible for the cultivation of how that feeds the flesh. We're responsible for dwelling on it. You know what? We can entice ourselves with the things that come toward us and have come to us in this life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 29, our brother writes, and the Lord tells us, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright. In Adam he did so. But they, mankind, have sought out many inventions. Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 29. You know how we invent? By taking that thing and milling it over and making it worse and adding more to it and just the factory of sin. The hearts of natural man. Back in James chapter 1, taking a look about this broad way of sin. But every man is tempted, verse 14, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15, and when lust hath conceived, desire, it's been rolling around there in the heart and the mind, it's been contemplated for a second, it's been contemplated for days, but then it conceives. It takes hold, if you will. It gets traction. Traction unto action. Traction unto action when lust hath conceived. Desire conceives by action in the body. By action in the body. Desire conceives by action with the body. Galatians chapter 5, familiar passage, I trust. Galatians chapter 5, listen to how rotten it is. We've seen how it is over there, what our Lord described in Matthew chapter 15, about the things which defile a man. Listen here about lust conceiving. Lust conceiving, desire conceives by action with the body, in the body. It gets legs on it. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, they're shown forth and revealed, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, a lack of restraint for that which is forbidden. You know, there's some things that are forbidden. It's forbidden that people should harm and molest children. It's forbidden. But some can just not refrain from doing so. Lasciviousness. Other things at hand. Dope and drink and these things mentioned earlier. It goes on to say here, the works of the flesh in verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, speaking also about dope and drugs, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, a riotous way and outlook, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do, it doesn't say have done, you know, because sinners can be saved from these things. We've touched on that. These things can be forgiven. But the doers of these things, those that are in active pursuit of these things, what's it say? But those that do such things, which do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Desire in the heart and in the mind, lust, when it hath conceived, there in James chapter 1, verse 15, it brings forth these works of the flesh, action by action in the body. There would be some that would say, oh, okay. Okay, I've got it. So it's okay if I think it, but I don't do it. You know, it's not. We mentioned that and alluded to that earlier. You know, the first look, that's life. That's the way life is. The first revealing of wickedness in front of our eyes, or that thought that comes to our mind that sometimes we just cannot, they just come. They come at the most inopportune time. I tell you what, that's part of this old flesh. But I tell you what, when you and I grab a hold of it and we cultivate it and we cultivate it, watch some wicked program and wickedness come on there, and then we go back at it again. And we go back at it again. And we keep on feeding that old junk and putting it in us. We keep on feeding that thing, that thought that comes to mind, and then we just kind of sit there. You know, our Lord has made us very creative. And we can take creativeness and use it to a very good, righteous, God-honoring direction, can't we? I tell you what, we can take that creativeness and we can use it to the most vile and degrading, wicked things in our hearts and our minds, can't we? That's the old man. Some would say, oh, so it's okay if I think it, but I don't do it. That'll be okay. Now, many think it's okay to look. And I tell you what, no, it's not okay to look. It is sin, too, when we cultivate it, if you will, in our hearts and our minds. It says here, the passage says, when he is drawn away of his own lust and or desires. Isn't that what the passage that we just read say? See, that's that enticing of self. That's that churning that mess over in our hearts and our mind. And rather than fleeing that, asking our Lord to take it away from us, we just churn that thing over and make it worse and worse and worse. You know what? You see the screen in your heart and your mind. I see mine. And God sees it all. And may we know that. May we beware of that. You know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28? Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, he saw her, and it just should have stopped right there. But you know what? He kept on churning. Kept on churning. Kept on working and should have left it alone. But you know what? It can happen. It can happen. And may the Lord help us in these things. Understand, when lust hath conceived, and we've seen about that, lust, desire hath conceived. Verse number 15, it bringeth forth sin. The broad way of sin. You know how you can do it? You can be over there and you can, I don't want to plan anything in your heart and mind. The Lord's talking about this and fornication and adulterous thoughts. You know what? Robbers think about all that money in that bank, don't they, Brother Mark? And they get to thinking about how nice it would be to be on the Riviera with a couple $10,000 in their pocket. They get to thinking about that trip that they've always wanted to take. With that stolen money, all that stuff they want to buy, and they chew on that, and they watch the bank, and they look at their systems, and they watch their schedules, and they keep on working on that thing. Next thing you know, they're trying to break into the bank, or they walk in with a mask, they've got a gun, they've got a note with threat. See how it works? Nobody ever walked into the bank and kind of tripped up and hit their head on the thing and said, this is a stick-up. They've thought about it, haven't they? So it is with everything else. I tell you what, you got that wicked movie that you're pulling out or you pull up or you go to at the movie house. And I tell you what, stay away from the movie houses. Because at the movie house is the good movie, quote unquote, that you want to watch. But you know what's all around you? Brother Jim, you just don't. I tell you what, I was sucked in by the whole thing. When I was a teenager, I began to go to the movie, and I began to go to movies that I shouldn't have been going to. And you know what? Had the temptation going by the X-rated movie place. Me and my friend, growing up as a teenager. Praise God, he kept us out of there. But I tell you what, because see, you go to see that movie, and you get to see all the other ones that are enticing you to come to them. How many previews keep on pressing? You go to a PG movie, you go to a PG-13 movie, and they're always pressing for the next rating. Mark it down. I know. I've been there. Stay away from that enticement. Enticement comes from without. Enticement comes from within. It, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And real plain, and sin, when it gets finished with you and me, it'll kill us. It brings forth death. I don't think there's a whole lot we need to say about that, is there? Sin's killing you and me. It's a broad way. You can go out that way and you can die any way you want to. You can die any way you want to. It's a broad way. It's a broad way. The broad way of sin is indeed that way. Romans 6:23, the wages, the payday of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't end there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In conclusion, in our verses that we saw in our text in the beginning, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't ever forget that. If it seems right to your flesh, seems right to the world, it's heading straight for death. It's a broad way. There's many choices, many options in that broad way. Our Lord Jesus told us about the broad way, that it certainly, surely leads to destruction. We've seen how it is with this of the broad way of sin. I think that everybody in the house can understand that we've got sins. We've got transgressions. Inside, outside, upside down. We've got them. We've got them to our account. Yours are yours and mine are mine. You need somebody to pay for your sins because you can't do it. What the natural man can do is just, and the man, natural man, woman, boy, or girl can do is just keep on sinning. We've taken a look at that recently. That's what the broad way does. It just cultivates even more. Sinner, you need one to pay for your sins. In 1 John chapter 2, I want you to read this verse and let it be heard and let it be understood. May our Lord bring conviction about these things. In John chapter 2, verse number 2, it says here, "And he that is Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Propitiation. You know what propitiation, we don't use that word, but you know what it means? It means a body to take the punch, a body to take the slap, a body to be pierced and the blood to run out of. Jesus is the suffering body for our sins. You know what? My Lord Jesus saved me in 1987. Because He died on Calvary, I've been forgiven. My sins and my iniquity in regards to my eternity have been washed away. If you're here and you're not saved, yours can be too. How? By what you can do and pursue Christ? By what you can do for the Lord? By what you can build? No. By repenting of those sins and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that what He did on Calvary some 2,000 years ago in His death, burial, and resurrection, to believe that He did it for you, that your sins would be forgiven through Him. See, Jesus is the propitiation, the suffering body for sinners' sins. There's no other payment. There's no other way. There's no other way that sins can be washed away but by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to this, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know what? Jesus handled my sins. And back through the centuries and the millennia, He's been taking care of sins for sinners that repent, that believe and trust in Him, and trusted in Him back to Brother Abraham, all the way back to Brother Adam. He's been taking care of sins for thousands of years. You know what? He can take care of yours. It's not a problem for Him. He's not overloaded. He's not overloaded. He can take care of them. We point you to Him that you might trust Him. Another point that I want to make here in conclusion, sin does not kill the truth. We talked about the truth here recently in another service. Sin doesn't kill the truth, does it? But brothers and sisters, I want you to hear something here. Listen to me. sin does kill the opportunity to obey the truth of our Lord, doesn't it? You think about it. That second, that minute, that hour, that day, that week, that month, that year, or those years. Time is the greatest commodity that you and I have, isn't it? You can't buy more time. You can't trade in airline points for more time, can you? You and I have got what we've got. And in this of the broad way of sin, even for the children of God, we still have this old man on our back, and we're still dealing with him and wrangling with him and wrestling with him and looking to feed the new man and take this old man and pin him down. When sin is preeminent in these times, in these seconds, these minutes, these hours, these days, these weeks, and so on, when sin is preeminent in these times are gone to obey the truth of our Lord. It's gone. When I sin against my Lord, I can no more go back and reclaim that moment. Sin doesn't kill the truth, but sins against our Lord do kill the opportunity to obey. And may we be mindful of that. May we look to walk with our Lord. As we read the next passage there in James chapter 1, it says here in verse number 16, "So as the children of God, listen, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from our Lord, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." The Lord does not change His track in any way. "Of His own will He birthed us. He begat us with the word of truth." With the word of truth. "That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." You know, we're living now. We're to live now like it's going to be with when we're with our Lord. We mentioned that recently. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear what God says. Slow to speak, indeed our own opinion, and slow to wrath, anger with legs on it. For the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness," I mean the abundance of sin and malice and such as that, "and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word." Amen? The command of our Lord. Let us stand and operate and walk in truth for those seconds and those minutes and those hours and those days and those weeks and so on. Let us not waste them by dealing and meddling with what's over there in that broad way of sin. "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Yeah, you know what? We can be deceived. Sin's a deceiver. We can deal with sin and get into sin and follow after sin. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 13, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We can get hardened by sin, can't we? And may we not do so. We can ball up and say, "Well, I just don't want to go there. There's no harm in this or that or the other." I tell you what. Sin equals death. It's no good. Our Lord has promised to forgive us, and we rejoice in that. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins indeed and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We have that surety as the children of God. But may we never, as His children, presume on His forgiveness. "Well, He'll forgive me. But I'll just go ahead and feed my flesh here for a little while." May our Lord help us.